Morning, dear brothers and sisters. I thank God for this privilege to share Word of God with you. I thank Pastor Sammy who gave opportunity to preach Word, to whom I am eagerly waiting to come here as yourself. As a Christians, we have responsibility to share testimony of Jesus. But most of the Christians do not testify Jesus. Some do, but they don't know how to testify Jesus in proper way. I heard one testimony. It is like that. My phone has fallen, but my phone was not broken. God has done great thing. Some people share like this. What they share, my buffalo was not giving milk. Now, buffalo is giving milk. Hallelujah. God has done great thing. When they get the testimony, the time of testimony, sharing about testimony, they share these kind of things. Are these testimonies? Really? What is testimony? How we can share our testimonies? Brothers and sisters, this sermon will give you clarity. How we can testify Jesus greatly. This sermon will motivate you to testify Jesus properly and greatly. Open your Bible. John Gospel. Gospel according to John, chapter 1. Verse 19 to 34. Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verse 19 to 34. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said." Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him and said to him, "Why then are you baptizing, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of those sandals I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Verse 29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who has higher rancor than I, for he existed before me.'" Verse 31. "I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified, saying, 'I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him.' I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.' I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." When we see this passage, we can say that testifying great Jesus. The theme of this passage, we can say, testifying the great Jesus. Because Jesus is great. Why I am saying this? This is testimony. Look at verse 19. He says, this is the testimony of John. This is the testimony of John. Clear testimony about Jesus. See, 32 says, verse 32 says, John testified. Verse 34 says, I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. So this is clear testimony about Jesus. It is talking about greatness of Jesus. Jesus is great. Because of that, we need to testify him. That is the theme. The meaning of testifying, witness, means confirming on basis of personal knowledge or belief. This is a human testimony concerning about Jesus. So here John the Baptist is confirming on the basis of personal knowledge or belief. He confirming his belief about Jesus in public. Especially this word, the reference is to evangelistic witness, to the nature, significance of Christ. So here John the Baptist evangelically testifying Jesus about his nature, significance. He did not say here, not only John the Baptist is testifying the nature and person of Jesus, but there are some who testified Jesus in their life. John the Apostle testified Jesus. John Gospel chapter 19 verse 35 says, and he who has seen has testified. His testimony is true. He knows that he is telling the truth so that you may believe. John the Apostle also testifying Jesus. Not only John the Apostle, even God himself testifies Jesus in chapter 5 verse 32. Even Jesus himself testifies who he is in chapter 3 verse 11. John Gospel. Here, the God is testifying Jesus. John the Apostle is testifying Jesus. And John the Baptist is testifying Jesus. So it is mandatory to testify Jesus as a Christian. As a Christian. Three attitudes of testifier. To testify Jesus greatly. Three attitudes of testifier. The first attitude of testifier to testify Jesus greatly is confessing his being in his testimony. Confessing his being in his testimony. Look at verse 19 to 23. We can see this truth. Verse 19. This is the testimony of John when Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Verse 20. He said, I am not Christ. He said, verse 21, are you Elijah? They asked him. He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He said, no. So he is confessing who he is in his testimony. That is the first essential attitude the testifier should have. The first thing that he confesses about his being is, first thing, he confesses who he is not. First, he confesses who he is not. He confesses who he is not is, he is not the Christ. He said, I am not the Christ. Look at verse 19. 20 says, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. The confessors means to say the same thing as another, to agree with, to do not refuse. To declare, confesses means. Here John the Baptist is agreeing with God. He says the same thing as God says. John knew that who he is and his role to do. Look at chapter 1, 33. Verse 33 says, I did not recognize him, But he who sent me to baptize in water. See, he knows that God sent him for what? To baptize in water. So that truth he is accepting, he is confessing with God. I came to earth, God sent me to baptize in water. That thing he confessed with God, but he did not deny the truth. But he confessed what? I am not the Christ. I am not Christ. That is, he is not the Christ. Christ means Messiah, anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one who come to the earth, to the world, to do the will of God. The anointed one means to do special task, anointed will be there. If any person who has been anointed, that person do special task. So Jesus, anointed one, because he came for special task, that is saving sinners. He is the Messiah to whom all Israel waiting for. So that truth John the Baptist accept. I am not the Christ. I am not the one who saves the sinners. He confessed. Not only he said, I am not Christ. He said, I am not Elijah. Look at verse 21. They asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Luke, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 17. See, Luke chapter 1, verse 17 says like this. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. See, in the spirit and power of Elijah. That means he is like Elijah. But he is not literally Elijah. He is the one who was not literally Elijah. God sent him like Elijah. That is the truth. John had same type of ministry and same authority to preach word and similar personality. How he wear dress like Elijah. So he is like Elijah, but not literally Elijah. So that thing he is accepting, he is confessing that I am not Elijah. I am not the Christ. I am not the Elijah. See, not only that, he said, I am not prophet. He is not the prophet. Look at verse 21, says, are you the prophet? And he answered, no, I am not the prophet. According to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him. This is the words of Moses. Verse 18 says, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18 says, I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded him. God would raise up a prophet like Moses, who would function as his voice. According to Acts chapter 3, verse 22-23, this prophecy applies to the Christ. So this is talking about Christ, the prophet. That thing also John the Baptist confessed. I am not the prophet. I am not Elijah. I am not Christ. Second thing that he confesses about his being is, he confesses who he is now. Before he confesses who he is not, after he confesses who he is. Look at, we can see verse 22-23. Who he is? He is a voice. Look at verse 22. Then they said to him, who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? 23, he said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. He is not an important person. He is not like a prophet, like Messiah. he said himself, I am a voice. I cannot appear. Just I will speak. Just I am not important person. He confesses himself as humble way. Who he is, he prepares the way of the Lord. He is a voice, and also he prepares the way of the Lord. Verse 23. Make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. John quoted and applied Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 to himself. In original context, the prophet heard voice calling for the leveling of path through eastern desert, so that God of Israel could lead his people home from Babylonia exile. This is talking about return of Israel to their God from sins and alienations through the redemption of Messiah. So this is the way, this is the path sinful people can reach the God. John emphasized his humility and subordinate role. He was merely a laborer preparing the road in advance of the Lord. He will see how does he prepare the way to the Lord in this verse. When we see Luke chapter 1, verse 17 says, Luke chapter 1, verse 17, it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That is his job. Sinful people may turn to the Lord. He is preparing the way to the Lord. So he is preparing the way of the Lord, we can say. See how he is preparing. When we see Luke chapter 3, verse 7 and 9, it is very clear how he is preparing people to the Lord. Verse 7, Luke chapter 3, verse 7. So he began saying to crowds who were going out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, you too flee from wrath to come. Indeed, an ox is ready laid at the root of the trees. So every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. He is proclaiming judgment of God. He is begging people, commanding people so that they may repent of their sins to come to the Lord. This way, John the Baptist is preparing road, way to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, do you confess who you are? You must be voice of God. You are not very important person in CCC. Accept that you are nothing, even though you are doing some service, even though you are loving your people, but you are nothing because you should be like voice. You are not important person when you are coming to the church. You should share Jesus to your friends and relatives. You tell them what will happen if they won't believe in Jesus Christ. Because John the Baptist, he is preparing the way to the Lord. He is proclaiming gospel. In that way, we need to share our gospel to our friends. But we need to accept we are sinful people. We are not good people. One time Pastor Chris asked, how are you? That person said, I am good. He's saying, you are not good. God is good. You are a sinful man. So that means we should accept we are nothing. We are sinful. God alone is good. We are not good at all. Here John the Baptist accepting that who he is not, at the same he is accepting who he is. The second attitude of testifier to testify Jesus greatly is humbling himself in his testimony. Humbling himself in his testimony. We can see verse 24 to 28. Look at verse 26 says, John answered them saying, I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of those sandals I am not worthy to untie. We can see clearly two ways that he humbles himself in his testimony. First way that he humbles himself in his testimony is through his humble speech. Look at verse 26. We can say, he's saying, verse 27, it is he who comes after me, the thong of those sandals I am not worthy to untie. Here, meaning of this word worthy, we have to understand to being correspondingly fitting or appropriate, deserving, fitting. Worthy means here fitting, appropriate, deserving. Also, it known as good enough. Worthy means good enough in this context. Here, John the Baptist, brothers and sisters, is saying that negatively. He says that I am not being correspondingly fitting unto the dove sandals of Jesus. But he is not worthy before Jesus. He is humbling himself because slaves' duty is to untie. Slaves' duty is to take the sandals of their masters in their culture. See here, John the Baptist, he is saying that I am not worthy to be a slave of Jesus. That is the idea. I cannot go before him. I cannot go as a slave with him because it is clear Jesus is holy. He is accepting that. He is humbling himself that he is a sinner. As Peter said, Luke chapter 5 verse 8, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 5, Isaiah said when he has seen the Lord of hosts, he said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Whoever understood who Jesus is, they will confess, they will humble themselves. They are sinner, they are unworthy, they are unfit to stand before Jesus Christ. Exactly, John the Baptist is confessing. We can say great things of John the Baptist, but I can say John the Baptist is a sinner like you and me. But he is better than us. But he is a sinner who is going to hell because of his sinful nature. Because he is not sinless person. He is also sinner. That's why he said, I am not able to be a slave of Jesus. I am not worthy. I am not good enough to stand before Jesus. He is humbling himself. Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, he said good thing about John the Baptist when you read Gospels. But John the Baptist is saying himself, I am not worthy. We have to do like that. We should understand about ourselves in front of Jesus Christ. Who are you? Who I am? In front of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is holy and holy, holy. The second way that he humbles himself is, he humbles himself in public. He did not humbling himself in private room or some other area, but he is humbling himself in public. Look at verse 28 says, these things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. See, so many people are coming to John to take baptism. To take baptism, so many are coming. Priests and Levites, the people from Pharisees, those people are coming to him to take baptism. baptism to ask some questions, in front of them, he is saying that, "I am not worthy. I am not worthy." Brothers and sisters, if you don't have humble attitude, you can't testify Jesus greatly. Because you testify yourself great. You should remember your unworthiness. If you are a true believer, you feel in this way, as John the Baptist and also John the Apostle, as Isaiah. You should feel like that. You can show your humility in worship by singing that Jesus is holy, you are unworthy. Publicly we can say, "Jesus, you are holy, you saved us." That is, you are confessing, you are humbling yourself, humbling yourself. Third attitude of testifier, to testify Jesus greatly, is exalting Jesus in his testimony. Not only confessing his being, not only humbling himself in testimony, but also third attitude of testifier is exalting Jesus in his testimony. That is the subject. We should exalt, testifier must exalt Jesus in his testimony. Not buffalo, not phone, nothing else. In our testimony, we have to exalt who Christ is. See, look at verse 29. "Next day, he saw Jesus coming to him, said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Verse 30, he said, "This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who has higher rank than I, for he existed before me.'" Verse 34, he said, "This is the Son of God." He said, he is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God. He has higher rank than I. So he is exalting Jesus in his testimony. Four great attributes of Jesus that help us to testify Jesus greatly. First great attribute of Jesus that help us to exalt him is, he is the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. 29 says, when Jesus is coming to John the Baptist to take baptism by him, John the Baptist has seen, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The behold is referring that the John the Baptist, he is gaining attention to the Lord. He wants people should see the Lamb of God. He is showing the direction, not to himself, to the Lord. "Behold, the Lamb of God," he is saying. Idea is here, the Lamb is belonging to God. The Lamb is owned by God. John the Baptist is testifying that Lamb is owned by God. He said that who takes away the sins of the world. God sent his Lamb to take away the sin of the world. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the one who takes away the sin of the world. Sin means what? Failing to observe the requirements of living, holy living, and being less than acceptable to the God. Fail to observe God's law. These are the sins. The world failed to observe the requirement of holy living, being less acceptable to the God. World failed to observe God's law. The world became sin. The people became sinners. So, to save them, God has sent the Lamb to take away their sins. Take away meaning is, it is very clear, to bear away what has been raised. Carry, to move from its place. Punishment of sinner, to cause that sin be neither imputed nor punished. That is the takes away sin meaning. Not imputing the sin upon sinner and not putting judgment upon sinner. Taking those judgment. So Jesus Jesus Christ, being a Lamb of God, He takes away our sins. That means He took our punishment. Took our punishment. He came for that. How He did? 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He has to shed His blood. He has to give His life to take away our sins. Romans chapter 5 verse 10 says, "For if you while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son." Through the death of His Son, we have peace with God. We are going to God because through death of Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. God sent in what a lamb He sacrificed to the God because of one sin. Actually, that sinner has to die because of his sin. God graciously said, instead of you, bring one lamb, blameless lamb, or any animal to sacrifice. Because sin must be punished. Because God is holy, He cannot see sins. So instead of sinners, He said to Israel to bring lamb. Do you remember? Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. That time, what happened? God showed a lamb to be sacrificed instead of Isaac. Do you remember? God sacrificed one animal in Garden of Eden to cover shame of our mommy daddy, Adam and Eve. Because to forgive them, He sacrificed one animal. Because of Isaac, He gave one lamb instead of Isaac to sacrifice. These all things are the showing, reminding, ultimate Lamb of God. Ultimate Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God who is going to take our place, take our punishment because of our sins. Brothers and sisters, no man can reach God because he is sinful, because God is holy. God made the way to go to Him through Jesus Christ. The way is death of Jesus on cross. You can't take your sins, but only way you can be saved, your life, that is through Lamb of God. Maybe you say that, I am a sinful man. I have done that thing. I have guilty because of my sin. What I need to do? You need to do one thing, that is, behold the Lamb of God. If you are a sinner, see Lamb of God who takes away your punishment, who takes away your sins. It will give comfort in your life. It will give encouragement when you fall to rise again and run for Christ. Look for Christ. Second great attribute of Jesus that help us to exalt Him is He is pre-existed God. He is pre-existed God. Look at verse 30 says, this is He. That means Lamb of God is He. On behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has an higher ranker than I, for He existed before me. He came as a man. Lamb of God came as a man. Who has higher ranker than I? For He existed before me. Here John is saying that Jesus existed before him. Let me ask you. Who was the elder between John and Jesus? Who born first? John the Baptist. 6 months later, Jesus born. But what he is saying here? See, he is saying that for He existed before me. That means he is clearly testifying in his testimony the greatness of Jesus, that is, He is pre-existed God. Pre-existed God. His origin was not started at Bethlehem. Before Bethlehem, He was. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says, Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Simple meaning is God promised that one day ruler will come to the Israel through Bethlehem. That is talking about the birth of Jesus Christ on earth. Then he explained who he is. Okay, he is coming through Bethlehem. Who he is means he's going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. God said that one who will go forth through Bethlehem is eternal. He is eternal. He existed eternally. Eternally. One day my relative, my brother, he said, why did you believe in Jesus who came recently, 2000 years ago? Why did you left our ancient gods? He asked me. Then I am trying to explain him. But he said, he asked one important question. Did you leave your mummy daddy by choosing others middle? Because your mummy daddy is mummy daddy. Why did you choose other mummy daddy middle of that time? He is illustrating to me. He thinks that, he believes that Jesus came recently. Most of the people, brothers and sisters, is it right? Is it right? According to Bible, most of the people will see at his birth, not at his eternal. He is eternal God, according to Bible. Jesus is pre-existed God. Bible is clearly testifying. John Gospel chapter 1, verse 15, see. John testified about him and cried out saying, this was he on whom I said, he who comes after me has higher ranker than I. For he existed before me, he said. Verse 15. You see, chapter 3, verse 31. Chapter 3, verse 31, John Gospel. He who comes from above is above all. Comes from above. He comes from above. Then see verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13. No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. See, chapter 6, 33 says, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven. These scriptures are testifying that his origin was in heaven. Did not start at Bethlehem. He came from heaven. God sent his Son. That means he was there. He sent. For example, I came from my place. That means I born here. Actually, I existed before, so I came from that place. You came from your house because you existed from your house, so you came here. Jesus' birth is not talking about his origin. It is talking about his taking the humanity to save sinners. To save sinners. Third great attribute of Jesus that help us to exalt him is the one who can baptize us in spirit. One who can baptize us in the spirit. Look at verse 31. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came to baptizing in water. 32, he said, John testified saying, I have seen the spirit descending as a dove out of heaven and remained upon him. The dove is also a sign of Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in appearing at Jesus' baptism took the form of dove. Dove-like descendant. That means this is not talking about Holy Spirit is dove. He came like that. The Holy Spirit descended like dove. Only John could see it. Not all. This is the supernatural miracle. This is the promise, the identification to John by God to recognize the Messiah. See, verse 33, he said, I did not recognize him. I did not recognize him. That means Jesus was cousin of John the Baptist. He saying, I did not recognize. I thought he is my cousin. But when I see Holy Spirit reminded, came upon from heaven, that time I recognized. I came to know that he is the Messiah. That is the idea. That is the idea. Verse 33, he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, God said to John the Baptist personally, hello, John the Baptist. If you see Holy Spirit descending and remaining upon anybody, that person is the Messiah. So through that, John the Baptist realized, he said, God, he said that one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit, that is Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Why did John the Baptist baptize? John may have two ideas from OT. The idea of ethical purification under image of purification with water. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 16. And second one, the expectation that God himself will execute the great purification in the end time. That is Ezekiel chapter 36, 25. Zechariah 13, chapter 13, verse 1. John connects these two ideas, then puts them to use in urgent appeal to adapt one's life toward the Messiah work, so that they may come to the Christ. John the Baptist's baptism does not bring salvation, but stands already in the light of approaching salvation. Those who are going to take baptism by John the Baptist, they are approaching salvation. But John the Baptist's baptism does not give salvation. But Jesus' baptism will give salvation. What does it mean, one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit? Jesus baptizes personal association with Holy Spirit. That is the idea. Baptism is referring to fill richly with Holy Spirit. He is the one who creates relationship with Holy Spirit. This is talking about salvation. There is no salvation without new birth. The new birth will come through Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit can create new birth in us. We are newborn again. We born again through Holy Spirit. That is the John the Baptist is talking. He is talking about salvation. The fourth great attitude of Jesus that help us to exalt him is, he is the Son of God. Not only he is pre-existed one, one who can baptize in Holy Spirit, and also Lamb of God, he is the Son of God. Look at verse 34, says, I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. Most people misunderstood this word. Brothers and sisters, you have to listen carefully. Most of the people misunderstood this word, the Son of God. They interpreted this, Jesus is inferior to God, because Jesus is Son of God. He is born of God. God created him. He is small God. He is not equal with God because of Son of God. According to our culture, when we interpret Bible, Son of God, it is like that only. But according to Bible, it is different. There are three words in Greek for born baby. Don't get bored, I am giving three words. Three words for baby, born baby in Greek. Briphos, that is for in the womb. Somebody, some baby in the womb, they will call briphos. Second word, technon, that is little born baby. Zero age to two age, middle people. Like my Rhea, she is technon according to Greek language. Then third word, nephos. Nephios means at a age of two. There are three words for baby. What is that? Briphos, technon, nephios. But the great thing is, these three words did not used for Jesus. If these words used for Jesus, he is born baby. We can say that. But for Jesus, one word used, that word, huios. Huios means the one that is an heir. It is the one who receives the inheritance. And that is what heir means here. This is the word for son, which means that Jesus an heir of everything what God created. You can adopt a baby who is not your own child, make them an heir. You can give all authority, you can give all inheritance to that baby. Jesus is called Son of God. So Jesus receives the inheritance of God. He is an heir of all things. All things is all creation. Is any person an heir of God? Even wealthy man and woman, all most talented men and women, those who are lived before us, those who are living with us, those who live after us, nobody will call an heir of God. But Jesus is an heir of God. He receives all inheritance. That is the meaning of son. Whatever God has, he has. Son of God is talking about Jesus has exact nature Father has. Whatever God the Father has, Jesus has. That is the idea of son, not born. Not born baby. Jesus did not created by God. Son of God means he is equal to God himself. Mark chapter 3 verse 17. James, the son of Zebedee, John, the brother of James, to them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Here James and John are not born of thunders. Sons of thunder means they did not born from thunders. It is talking about they have a nature of thunders. That means son of God means Jesus did not born of God. Jesus has same nature of God. Jesus is omnipresent. He is source of life. Omnipotent, omniscient. He knows all things. Jesus is self-existent, eternal, immovable, incomprehensible. Jesus is perfect, unchangeable. Jesus is holy, righteous. Jesus is faithful, true. Jesus is love, merciful, gracious. Because all these natures God himself has. If God has these all natures, God, Jesus himself has. He is equal to God the Father. Whenever he says Father, whenever he called himself, I am Son of God, he is saying that I am God. Whatever God has natures, I have that myself. Because of that, we did not understand based on our culture when we see Son of God. But Jewish people, they hate Jesus whenever Jesus proclaimed himself as Son of God. John chapter 5 verse 18. John chapter 5 verse 18. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Because, why they want to kill him? Because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. When Jesus was calling God as Father, they want to kill him because he is making himself equal with God. When we see chapter 10 verse 33 of John Gospel, the Jews answered him, see, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself ought to be God. Then they said, verse 36, chapter 10, verse 36, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified, sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God. Jesus saying to Jews, brothers and sisters, here it is very clear. Why Jesus is blasphemer? Because he is calling himself Son of God. So Jesus is saying, are you blaspheming? You are calling me. You are blaspheming because I said I am Son of God. Look at verse 19, chapter 19, verse 7. The Jews answered him, we have a law. And by that law, he ought to be died. Because he made himself ought to be the Son of God. Whoever says I am Son of God, that person ought to be died according to law. See, that is, whenever Jesus says I am Son of God, he is saying I am God. So these Jewish people, as a being a man, why you are saying you are God? So we want to kill you. You understand? Jewish people understood rightly. But most of the Christians or other people, they disbelieve Jesus because he is the Son of God. But Son of God means exactly he is equal to the God. He is God. That's why Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8, God said, but of the Son he says, God is saying, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. God is saying to his Son, your throne, O God. He's calling Jesus, O God. Your throne is forever and ever. So that means Jesus is God. He is equal to the God the Father. The Son of God is God himself. Whenever he calls God as Father, he's saying that I am also equal with you. Because of his greatness, John the Baptist said that I am not worthy to untie the thong of sandal. He has seen, he is the Son of God, he is the God. Brothers and sisters, the brief summary we can say, God, what is the testimony of John the Baptist? God, who existed before, he came as a man to take our sins. But don't think that he is a man, common man. He existed before. He can only give salvation through Holy Spirit. Don't think that Son of Man means he is common son, born baby. He is exactly God. He said, I have seen. I came to know that. So he is the Son of God. I am going to conclude, brothers and sisters. This is the same way Paul said in Philippians. Same testimony as John the Baptist said. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 to 8. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of bondservant, and being made in likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on cross. Same testimony. What John the Baptist testified, Paul also testified. Me and my friends, one time we went hotel. Then we have seen, we ordered the Hyderabad Dum Biryani. Then biryani came. I was searching, where is the chicken? But I did not found chicken. Then after we come to know that is vegetarian hotel. Then we thought that, why did he say this is Hyderabad Dum Biryani? If it is Hyderabad Dum Biryani, must have chicken. But there is no chicken in Hyderabad Dum Biryani. Brothers and sisters, why I am telling this simple illustration? If you are testifying, if there is no Jesus in your testimony, what is useless? Nothing. That is useless only. Your testimony should focus on Jesus Christ, not anything else, not you, some other person, anybody else. Your testimony should focus on Jesus to exalt him, He is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God. He is the one who saves you. He is the one pre-existed one. You have to share. This is the testimony. This is the model for testimony. You have to testify this testimony when you are sharing your testimony to your relatives. God may help us to testify Jesus for his greatness. Let us pray. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to testify Jesus, our Savior. Lord, give wisdom to testify Jesus in proper way. Lord, thank you, Lord, for giving your Lamb to take care of our sins. Lord, our Jesus is not common man. He pre-existed one. Lord, we are worshiping you. We are praising you for giving such a great God for us to take our sins. In Jesus' name, I praise and pray. Amen.